Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Punt Intended podcast, a Dynasty Fantasy Basketball podcast and a Sports Ethos production. As always, I am your host, Mark C., the Dynasty leader over at Sports Ethos. You can find me on Twitter at MacAttack145 and my writings and rankings over at SportsEthos.com. And today is the day we are going to get into some of the top G League prospects. We are going to touch a little bit on player performance and how injuries have affected that at the end of the pod, but I want to really focus on those G League prospects today and the draft scouting, and so we're going to get right into it. The first player we're going to discuss is Matas Bouzelis, who is 6'10", about 205, 210 pounds, and a sort of a wing big tweener type. He will be about 19 and a half, a little older coming into the draft, so you know, not the youngest player, but still obviously under 20 starting his rookie season. And as I said, he played in the G League Ignite program, which is going to be ending. This is his last year. And you can kind of see where the development track is a little iffy on a lot of these players. And I think Bouzelis is a somewhat decent example of that. And he was I'll be upfront and honest, he was a really hard player for me to scout, because there are some things that I really like with him in the eye test and some things I really dislike. And he's one of those players that I can just see not working out and not getting minutes. But if he does get the minutes, I do see the fantasy skill set and upside. So I just wanted to be upfront about that. I'm going to sprinkle in throughout this discussion on Bouzelis on why I believe it to be the case. But I really think his minutes played and how well he is on the court is going to dictate some of his fantasy upside. So let's just get into some of the pros first. As I mentioned, he's about 6'10 with good length and good wingspan, and that's just inherent positives. I think we're seeing a bit of a theme through the playoffs and through the past couple seasons that players who have some skill and good size, that's really good. We kind of saw that with the Nuggets, where Jamal Murray was their smallest player on their starting lineup and their closing lineup, and he's about 6'5 with good length. If you have good length across your positional spectrum and your starting lineup and a good wingspan, and then some skills on top of that, that's just very beneficial. I don't necessarily see a lot of applied athleticism with Bouzelis, but again, if you're 6'10 and have some skills, yeah, that's going to help you quite a bit. Let's get into some of those skills some, and where I'm seeing a little bit of dissonance between eye tests and stats here. Bouzelis did look pretty comfortable dribbling in traffic and executing some handles, mainly some stop-and-go moves, some hesitation dribbles, some behind-the-backs. And, I mean, it's not fantastic, right? But at 6'10 and being able to do some of that, that's nice. That shows that I think he's comfortable handling the ball. And, yeah, for his size, he's doing some things, and he's not too bothered by pressure. He has a little under a 15% turnover rate, which, I mean, that's high. That's a little high. But it's not actually too bad, especially given the program, given his passing is still a work in progress, and in terms of his, I guess, losing the ball in traffic, I didn't think that was too bad. I mean, there were some dribbling turnovers here and there, but given his age and the league he was playing in, and just the pace of the way the G League play and out in transition, a little helter-skelter, I didn't think that was too bad. Now, I'm not unsure how much separation his dribble craft seemed to get him. It didn't really look too great, and I thought his shifting of movement was really poor. As in, he didn't really, you know, try to change direction too much, not many Eurostep flashes, and his drives were fairly linear, where, you know, if he's driving on the right side, you can feel confident he's going to stay on the right side. He's not really looking to shift across, which it just limits how you can attack the rim, and that didn't look great. I didn't love that aspect. Now, here's where I'll note that he did have an early injury at the G League season with ankles, and that may have affected his performance overall and how much athleticism he could actually show. That was basically held him out the first 3 months of the G League season, and it definitely trickled a little bit into the season as well. So that kind of, I don't want to say clouds, but it hangs over all this analysis a little bit, as we may not have seen Matas Bouzelis at full strength ever throughout the season. But at the same time, it's still something to know. On the note of his turnovers, when he was in the post or on the wing, he honestly just didn't seem to know what a pivot foot was, and that seems really harsh, but there were a lot of times where he's in the post with his back to the basket on the low block, and he just kind of stands there with 2 feet, and then either looks for a pass by just turning his upper body and torso, but he doesn't actually move his feet, which is kind of, I don't know what to make of that, but it's kind of flagged out a little bit as to me. And he had a lot of turnovers just shuffling his feet on the wing when trying to drive. So even though I said earlier he looked comfortable handling the ball, the fact that he's not comfortable doing that and pivoting is a little bit of a yellow flag there for me. Let's get into a shot a little bit here. I thought his motion was fairly smooth and displays a lot of comfortability with it and familiarity with it, which I do like. And with his height, he actually has a pretty naturally high release point anyways. So even if the release isn't the cleanest or the quickest, he's gonna be able to shoot it over a lot of defenders pretty easily just due to that high release point. So I did like that aspect. But we have to get into the numbers a little bit on his threes. And really, he just kind of displayed a lack of touch in general. Not a lot of, friendly shooter rolls, which, or shooter rolls off the rim, where the ball bounces off the rim and then rolls in, or, oh wow, that looked like a friendly, lucky bounce that you see some shooters have time and time again and others not. Yeah, I didn't see a lot of that from Bouzelis on the tape. He shot about 100 total threes and 25% on those, which isn't that great. That's obviously pretty poor. But the encouraging thing is the volume on those threes. Took about 5.3s per 100 possessions, and he did have a willingness to take them. And in a little bit of a variety of manners, sometimes on the move, sometimes off the catch. Not, obviously, it's not like Michael Porter Jr. level or anything where he's running off screens and taking it quickly in stride, but a little bit of movement, a little bit off the dribble, and enough to at least say there's something there. Now, is the percentage going to get better? I mean, he's obviously starting at a pretty low point there. But the volume's encouraging, and there's a little bit of hope that maybe he can get those threes to a point. And that is probably going to need to be a crux of his offense this game, given the lack of elite self-creation that we're not seeing. In terms of his finishing, I mean, there were some shades of crafty finishing, of being able to use his length to extend around the rim protector. And I think as he gets stronger and with more training, and maybe where this is especially where the ankle injury could have affected him, then maybe that should get better over time. But again, I didn't love his touch on that. He shot 45% from the field overall, and yeah, it's not that positive, right? It's not that positive of a player you think that's 6'10". Although, I mean, the threes were a decent portion of his shots, so we'll have to see if he can improve that efficiency overall. I did touch on his passing earlier a little bit with the turnovers, but we'll get into it a little more here. And he had some passing flashes, mainly finding the cutter when on the wing, but it was pretty infrequent, especially in the half court. He looked more comfortable passing more in transition, and when he could just, that's when it felt more natural, and he was not as, I guess, one track minded. So maybe he just needs to translate that transition mindset to a half court mindset, but he didn't look great passing the ball when things were more cluttered. He tended to either attack or pass, not really read the defense and let the game come to him. Which, I mean, that's pretty common for a lot of young players. They need time to adapt to the game and just be able to read the court better. So, a little encouraging, but he didn't really force too many passes either. So, you normally with players that you think will have a passing ceiling, you'll see them attempt ambitious passes. Even if it's not fully there, they try to do that. Bouzelis didn't really have that in his game. He had only a 10.1 assist rate and only two per game in about 32, 31 minutes per game. So I'm not exactly sure if assists are really going to be something he's good at or they'll just kind of come in. I think he'll trickle some in, especially if he can get that transition game going, but it's probably not something you're looking to build off of Bouzelis as a core of assists from that, wing slash big hybrid spot. I thought in terms of his off-ball game, we touched on the shooting earlier. That's going to need to improve percentage-wise if it's going to be a threat. But I also thought he was pretty good at finding these pockets of space when cutting or ducking in, which, that just helps your flow of the offense and helps you buffer your field goal percentage for a little bit. It wasn't the most frequent, but it was there enough that I think he's a pretty smart player in that regard and knows how to use his length and just general height to really help his guards, I guess, find those angles and find those pockets of space where he can kind of cut in, occupy that space, get the pass, and then have a nice, good look at the rim. His rebounding instincts for Bouzelis, they were decent, but a little bit of inconsistent effort. Wasn't someone as aggressive as, getting a body on a man and occupying space and attacking the ball. On that note, I do think he did a good job of high pointing the ball, so I do like that, and that's something that he should have, being 6'10". I hope you know how to attack the ball on the boards. But he did only post about a 12% rebounding rate, but that still tracks about 6.5 boards in 32 minutes per game. I don't think he's going to be some tenacious rebounder that is really going to be a huge impact there, but a positive rebounder? I mean, yeah, he's 6'10". He better be some impact in boards. And with that rebounding, he did possess some ability to grab and go in transition, which we've talked a good amount of him with him in the transition game. That should allow for some easy baskets and buckets. And with that dribbling ability and that kind of go mentality, he should have some grab and go, some head-aheads where he can really push that tempo. And I do just like players who are willing to run and transition hard. I haven't touched on the defense yet because, frankly, I didn't love what I saw on the tape, and this is where I'm probably the most conflicted on him, and especially in terms of his forecasted minutes and role in the league. Now, again, I'm going to note, he did play a little bit through some early season ankle injuries and was recovering from that, so that may have affected his effort levels and what he could do defensively. And in some of the later game film I watched, it did look better, but I didn't love what I saw. I thought he often moved with very little urgency on defense. He didn't seem willing to close out that hard, didn't seem to really always be attuned awareness-wise to what was going on, and I thought he got lost in rotations quite frequently. Again, maybe that's just an ankle injury thing, but he almost seemed reliant on his length and just size to try to make up for whatever lack of attention he was giving. And that's the sort of thing that doesn't fly at the NBA level if you're going to be that size and potentially not provide a great amount of offensive value. You're going to have to be good defensively. And I'm not sure if Bouzelis can get to that level. Again, size is just an inherent positive thing on the NBA court. But if you're not applying it well, I mean, we've seen players not lose minutes because they were just not good defensively. Hello, James Wiseman. I mean, has the perfect physical frame to play center and yet just cannot play well defensively because of his awareness. I'm not saying Bouzelis is at that level. I don't think he is. But is there some shades of that the length flatters a little bit on the defensive end? That's what I'm kind of seeing here. I thought he was a little flat-footed on ball, and he didn't really attempt to jump passing lanes off ball either. Wasn't really impactful there, even though he could have the length to maybe do that a little more. I mean, so his length did allow him for some steals off either wayward dribbles or passes, but I kind of felt like that was, again, flattering him a little bit. I thought sometimes the steals fell to him, which maybe you can argue chicken egg, did they fall to him, or did his length help cause that? Maybe both. He had about a 1.5% steal rate, which is, all right, that's not too bad. That's about a little under one per game, which it's acceptable, but it's not some havoc event creator, and I wasn't really seeing him forcing issues defensively too much in terms of the steal game. And I kind of touched on how he seems to rely on his tools rather than actual know-how of defense, and maybe calling him a lazy defender is a little harsh, especially considering the injuries, but that's just kind of the vibe I got from him and the look I got from him. In terms of his shot blocking, I didn't think he was an instinctual shot blocker at all, even though he did total a lot of block shots. I thought he was kind of late on numerous contests, jumping after the finish or the layup was already by him, and it's just, okay, you're jumping. It looks kind of nice. It looks like you were close to blocking it, but you didn't actually impact the rim protection at all. You were just late on the block. Kind of hunting. Not, I don't want to say he was even hunting for blocks. He was just late on some of these contests. And there were numerous finishes against him, even though he was there at the rim and tried to do some verticality stuff. Players would just finish around him. I mean, maybe that's a lack of strength. Maybe he'll get better with his positioning, but I just didn't think he was that instinctual of a shot blocker and relying on his tools a little bit more than his know-how. And again, he's young, he can improve the know-how, but it was definitely not something that I saw that was inherent to him. The numbers disagree with me there a little bit. He had a 5.5% block rate, which it's not fantastic, but it's decently solid. And that led to about 2 blocks per game. So, I mean, that's not bad. That's pretty good, especially considering this is the G League Ignite level. But really, the whole story on his defense and where I think that could affect his minutes in the offensive game as well, really, is there's a lot of shades of good flashes here. A lot of shades of good things you like to see, especially from a 6'10 player. But I don't know if that whole package is going to come together. And if it doesn't, I can just see him being someone who is always tantalizing, always enticing, but the package is just never there. So I guess we're getting into the summary a little bit of Matas Puzelis here. As I said, he has some intriguing flashes and skills as an on-ball creator and an off-ball movement shooter and just a big size finisher, but the numbers and the lack of great separation, they don't necessarily advocate that strongly for it. I thought Puzelis did look fairly clean in his shot motions and in his dribbling package at his size and age, but he just showed an inability to create easy looks that would allow for great efficiency on ball. And again, I'll mention the injury. Was dealing with ankle injuries, maybe that's affecting it, but I'm just a little unsure about that and how much you buy into the injury versus, well, maybe this is who Puzelis is as a player. Additionally, while Puzelis did display some decent catch and shoot mechanics, the numbers need to be better. On defense, he has that solid length and wingspan, but I thought he just lacked the instincts to be impactful on that end. Will he get steals and blocks? Yeah, he probably will. Will it be because of something he's necessarily doing? I don't know if it's something he'll get because he's actively doing and doing a good job of blocking the rim, defending the rim, and impacting passing lanes. He kind of, I think, will get it because of his size and kind of more passively in a way. And again, for fantasy, I mean, that's kind of okay because, hey, if you're getting the steals and blocks, we kind of sometimes don't care how you're getting them. But I think that could really impact his minutes in the NBA. So overall, I think he has some building blocks of his length, his dribbling, his skill package, and just comfortability. But the actual production is lagging a bit too far for me to really put a huge stamp of approval on Matas Puzelis. For me, that makes him a little bit of a low floor, high ceiling prospect, especially compared to where he could get taken in the NBA draft. So for fantasy, I'm going to kind of give a summary of his, I think, his skill set if he hits decently well and he sees good minutes. But again, I'm gonna emphasize this here. I think the chance of minutes being too low for him to see great usage impact is a decent outcome, or not a decent outcome, it's a decent probability here. So I think he'll get some decent points just with that ability to be big and get some good looks at the rim. And I think he'll rack up some blocks too accordingly. With his length and size, he should be a decent contributor in boards. And yeah, we talked about his steals, threes, assists, field goal percentage, and free throw percentage. I think he can chip in there, although maybe they're not building blocks. And he'll have some turnovers as well, just I think with some of the things he attempts to do on the court. So, I mean, that's a decent fantasy player who can kind of contribute a little bit across the board. But I think he's going to need to see the minutes to do that, and I just don't know if I trust that over some of the other players in this draft. So, Matas Puzelis, if you see that buy-in and you think he's going to get good minutes, yeah, I think there's a decent fantasy player here. But it could just be a bit of a, not a wasted draft pick, but someone who, I don't even want to say bust, but someone who you're a little disappointed by if you take him too high in your fantasy rookie drafts. The next player we're going to get into is Ron Holland. He's about 6'8", like 205 pounds, and pretty much a wing. He's going to be a little, just a little under 19 when he gets drafted, and he was also in the G League Ignite program. Again, we're keeping up with that theme here today. And he's a very interesting prospect who, if you watch the highlight tape, there are some great flashes here. The first thing that really pops off the page for me with Ron Holland is just his how athletic and long his frame is. We said he's 6'8", but his wingspan looks just really impressive out there, and he seems to take up a lot more space in the court than that 6'8" number would signify. Now, we'll have to see what the combine measurements are on him, but I mean, I was just really impressed by that. I also thought he had a pretty good quick burst ability and just fantastic applied athleticism. The way he sometimes just floats on some of his finishes to the rim, hangs in the air, or just skies up for dunks and gets that hang time, I thought was really impressive. And I mean, you've listened to some of the other draft prospect shows, I hope, and you know how much I love players that have that sort of inherent athleticism in their package. We have to talk about some of the offensive skills, though, here a little bit. And first, we'll touch on the shot with Holland. His pull-up release seems fine, although the release is very shaky and pretty slow. He does have a naturally high release point, so it helps offset that speed, but that motion needs to be picked up a little bit. He kind of has to dip the ball down into the pocket and then bring it back up, so again, doesn't allow for a quick release. I didn't see a huge amount of his pure catch and shoot attempts. And yeah, his release is going to need to be sped up, but that's something that can be improved on. In terms of his own self-creation, I thought he did use his body well once he got past or even was even with the defender. He was a very strong and willing physical finisher, and I thought he actually displayed the ability to finish with both hands, and that just helps you finish at the rim. If you can vary up how you're finishing and give your defenders multiple things to think about of how you can attack the rim, you can really be versatile and help improve your finishing. Now, the numbers didn't exactly bear that out fully. His consistency at the rim needs to improve a little bit if he's going to be living there so much. He shot a little under 60% at the rim, which is fine, but for his player archetype and his size, it's not great. That number got even worse if you take out dunks and transition attempts. It got to a little over 50%. So that's not exactly something you want to see. And really, I think his general touch and efficiency just needs to improve overall. Talking about his numbers from deep, he shot 24% from deep on about 3 attempts per game, which, I mean, that volume's okayish, but it's not great, and 46% from the field overall. And given that he seems to be more of the slasher type who can cut in from the wings, go in hard and physically, I mean, that 46% from the field is not a great number. He did score about 18.5 points per game, so, I mean, that's good. But if it's not someone who's doing it efficiently and seems like he may struggle in an off-ball role with that lack of clean shooting and efficiency, then he may struggle to find his place on the offensive end. In terms of his passing, I thought he didn't really display too much natural passing instincts, and it's not even in a sense that the ball stops with him and he doesn't move it around, but there wasn't really many flashes of him passing guys open and utilizing the advantages he created by getting to the paint for either dump offs or kickouts. I mean, there were some driving kicks, but it wasn't really that frequent. He did average 3 assists per game, but also a little over 3 turnovers per game, which, if you're doing the math, is pretty much a 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, which is pretty ugly. That's not good. And it's not indicative of a player who, you want the ball in your hands a lot running your offense. I definitely don't think this is someone who has a lead operator wing in his future. I don't think he can get to that Tatum or Kawhi Leonard level unless we see some great improvement, which I am not predicting for Holland at all here. I mean, we did see some impressive passing flashes, don't get me wrong. Some dump offs, some live dribble passes to the opposite corner, but they were so infrequent and just really on the highlight reel that it's not something I'm buying into. And he didn't really run much pick and roll, display little ability there, so I don't think there's an on-ball player here. I think he's definitely more of that slasher type and almost RJ Barrett-ish in that regard, with he'll take threes slowly if it's open, take the up and jumper, but he much prefers to get into the paint and muscle his way for finishes, or just try to use his length and burst to create the separation that way. So yeah, again, that's basically more of that slasher type on offense. I hope that shot can get to a better point, but the volume here is really discouraging. Let's get on the defensive end with Ron Holland. And this is where I think he really stands out, and I absolutely love his wing defensive play here. We talked about last week with Zachary Richesche, where he was more of a cat defender, let the game come to him, and was more passive. Haaland is the dog defender, where he will attack those passing lanes and is willing to play up on you and be aggressive. And for fantasy, I love what that means in terms of his defensive stat rates. I thought he, just to get a little bit more on eye test here before we dive into some of those stats, I thought he had generally good foot mobility on defense. Did allow some blow-bys here or there. It was a little passive with his feet placement, but generally good foot mobility and fairly shifty hips. I thought his off-ball defensive game was really strong. I thought he rotated really well in defense to cut off drivers. It had really strong weak side instincts, which allowed for just numerous steals of passing lanes, numerous times he's jumping in the passing lanes, cutting off drives, and just really create havoc. And that's what I love on defense. I talk about that a lot with players, and defensive havoc creation is so important. I mean, you see players like Alex Caruso really be renowned at that and just completely disrupt the whole offensive system. And I think Haaland, I mean, obviously I don't want to compare Ron Haaland to Alex Caruso in terms of defensive impact, but there are some shades there. He had a steal rate of about 3.5%, averaging 2.3 steals in 31.5 minutes per game. Really strong. And his blocks were pretty decent too, with a little under 1 per game and a 2.5% block rate. Again, some critical numbers there. Being above 2% on steal rate's good. And if you're a guards, I mean, normally you want your block rate to be kind of 4% or higher, but 2.5% for that wing player, still really good. So I think he can really help you in those offensive stats really strongly. I thought he had a really good understanding of where the next pass is going or where the action is going to and the cutoff said action, and just anticipate what the offense is trying to do and disrupt that action. Again, I love that for real life, and I love that for fantasy even more for defensive players. So I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Haaland on that end. I did think his screen navigation can be a little iffy. He wasn't really slithery and slipping around screens that well, but his length and burst just does allow him for some good recovery. So I think he can improve a little bit on that in terms of his defense. That's an improvement area for me. But his ability to just play that great off-ball defense, I think, is really going to impress at the NBA level. On his rebounding, I thought he was a really willing and active rebounder. He had a rebound rate of 11.5%, which, I mean, doesn't sound as impressive when I said Bouzelis earlier was 12%, but I mean, 11.5% as a wing is a little better. And I think he was a little more aggressive and active hunting those boards. So I really like that from Haaland. Averaged about a little under 7 per game. So again, that's a pretty strong number. I thought also his motor and hustle was just really great. You see him making constantly those quote unquote energy plays and really getting after it. And I think that really plays well at the NBA level. In transition, he's just a really hard runner and utilizes his athletic talents and his long strides very effectively and efficiently. We talked about the athleticism at the top of this Haaland section. And yeah, again, it really shows itself in transition where I think he's just really good at that and can really be a transition plus. So we're going to get into a little bit of summary of Haaland here. Haaland, I think, possesses a unique blend of length, size, mobility, and athleticism that just inherently gives him a leg up right away compared to some of the other prospects we discussed the past couple of weeks here. He utilizes that ability well in almost all facets of his game, whether it's driving the rim, running out in transition with long, efficient strides, or pestering passing lanes for steals and deflections. However, if we're talking about a skill level, that's notably at a low baseline, with his efficiency, passing, and handles all needing improvement. And that's really indicating a player who may not have a high ball on usage role. If the shot can get to a playable level, any offensive improvement, though, will be gravy, considering the ways he can impact the court. So I think this gives Haaland actually a pretty decent floor with that defensive ability, and I think he has some really strong right tail outcomes. And what I mean by right tail outcomes, if you know a bell curve, basically the right end of that is your 99 percentile outcome, which is your high end outcome and what's your ultimate ceiling for a player. That's also referred to ceiling. I think his ceiling is really strong if the offense if the offensive skill can progress in a way that I'm not necessarily forecasting. And I mean, it can get there. It sometimes happens with players that they just develop that. I'm not projecting it, but if it does, oh boy, I think Haaland could be one of those fantasy monsters in a nine-cat contributor way. So let's get into the fantasy profile right here for Haaland. As said earlier, I think he's going to give you strong steals along with some blocks. Not probably a high amount, you know, maybe not to that 1.5 level, but that would probably be the ceiling for him. I think because of the way he attacks the rim, he can give you some decent field goal percentage, but that could depend on the volume of threes and how much that is incorporated in his game. His free throw percentage is most likely to be a negative. To give some numbers on that, he averaged about four attempts per game, that is, at nearly a 73% clip, which it's not too bad. It's not necessarily greatly positive, but it's not too bad. So free throw percentage, probably a negative, especially with how much he attacks the rim, but hopefully that can improve a little bit. The threes will be there, but again, I doubt it's going to be impactful. It's probably going to be slightly negative. When evaluating, I guess, shooting here, and we're going to use Haaland a little bit as a poster child for this for prospect scouting. I mean, I've talked about this a lot. The volume of threes is super important, and so is that free throw percentage. So the volume of threes wasn't great for Haaland. The free throw percentage is decent, but not great. So can you get to a passable level of open shooter and one that you at least have to respect? That's the hope. I think it's within a reasonable range of outcomes, but it is probably on the higher end of outcomes for Haaland. For the rebounds, I think they'll be decent to good. For scoring, again, decent to good with that slashing and scoring ability. And he'll get some assists, I think, just because of the way he runs in transition and the attention he can draw by his drives to the rim. But I don't think it's going to be a positive. And we talked about the turnovers earlier, how he can kind of lose the ball a little bit, doesn't have the best handles. I think they'll probably be poor as well. And something to mention with his shooting, he did take a decent amount of mid-rangers as well, but it felt more in the vein of, okay, players knew that he wasn't a great shooter, played him under, and so that's what created the space for his mid-ranger. Not necessarily Haaland creating space for the mid-ranger, but other players basically disrespecting him and daring him to shoot. And, okay, maybe it will be there at the NBA level, but it's going to be a work in progress. So overall, I mean, we talked about Modest Buzelis and how I'm unsure of his minutes at the NBA level and how that will affect his fantasy production. And you could probably argue the same thing with Ron Haaland. But the main difference with Ron Haaland is that I see a great floor here with his defense, and I think his defense can really be, I don't know if I want to project game-changing, but at least pockets of game-defining, and that will give him a good floor for the minutes to see fantasy production. Add onto that some baseline level of offensive improvement, and I think he can be playable as a two-way wing with great strength in defense, and that can give him that starter level minutes upside and thus see that fantasy production and promise that I'm projecting here for Ron Haaland. Lastly, I do want to touch a little bit on the playoffs and player performance, and namely how injuries have affected that. And it might seem weird, we're talking about injuries, playoff performance, but really, these are the last times we could see some of these players perform. And heading into the offseason, I think I really want us to take a step back and make sure we just don't leave that last lingering impression of maybe our player hobbled by injuries, underperforming, and then think 2 months later, oh yeah, I remember that player not looking good. I don't want him on my team, or I don't want to trade for him, because injuries affect the game. They do. And there are players, I'm not hesitant to label players injury prone, but you know, reoccurrence of injuries to the same area is obviously not good. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is probably the poster child for that with his knee. And some people would say LaMelo Ball with the ankles. I'm getting in that camp. I'm not fully there yet. So I think it's just always important when evaluating performances, we have to keep in mind proper context. And injuries are a part of that context, sadly. At this point in the year, when it's the end of the season and it's the playoffs, probably all players are dealing with some sort of nagging injuries. It's just the end of the season. Fatigue is going to build up. We can call these, you know, fatigue, end of season injuries, whatever. Everyone's probably dealing with something. But some are definitely greater than others. And not all injuries are going to be created equal here. We saw Donovan Mitchell come back very slowly at the end of the regular season, but he's really ramped up in the playoffs and been fantastic for the Cavs. Really their only bright light in their playoff series win against the Magic and in the early going here against the Celtics. But players like Luka Doncic, Tyrese Haliburton, Joel Embiid, I think all have been clearly hampered in the playoffs by various injuries. You can add Brandon Ingram to that list as well. Although we do have to mention Dort did a great job at completely destroying anything Ingram wanted to do. But I think it was also clear Ingram himself wasn't at 100%. We can add Jamal Murray there. Again, also though, the product of great defense, but he looks a little hobbled as well. Garland, Darius Garland, maybe he's still having some mental effects from the jaw injury and just not being able to fully ramp up nutritionally, which, I mean, maybe that sounds minor. Maybe I'm buying into that a little bit, but I mean, if you're, I think he was drinking through a straw with his jaw injury for 8 weeks. I mean, that's going to affect how your body is ramping up physically. Damian Lillard, clearly hampered, tried to come back with a sore Achilles, and he looked worse. And I think all those players that we listed are clearly affected by some sort of injury. So I don't want that to be our last impression of them. I want us to keep in mind the larger body of work. I'm not saying to ignore a player's injury history. What I am saying is keep in mind the context of player performances and what might have affected that. And maybe there's even buy low opportunities for these players. I'm not a huge Brandon Ingram fan, but perhaps this is a chance where an owner is really panicking, or yeah, a dynasty manager is really panicking over him and thinks he's just cooked or done. And maybe you can buy him low and trade for him at a depressed value. Or if you believe an injury, a player is injury prone and you are tired of Joel Embiid and you think he's just going to get injured or deal with the knee and it's going to be a persistent nagging issue, maybe you use the playoffs and how well he performed as a sort of a sell high moment. Honestly, you can kind of take either stances. I personally don't think, I mean, I think Joel Embiid always has some injury, but he performs so well, it's worth that risk. Brandon Ingram, I mean, I don't love him, but I don't love him as an on-court player, but he does put up some valuable stats for fantasy, so yeah, I'd be looking to maybe even acquire him if the price is right. Tyrese Haliburton, I think, has been clearly bothered, and I think it's interesting. He's probably worthy of a deeper discussion, but I still think he's a pretty high ceiling fantasy player. So I just want us to keep that in mind as we start really getting to the offseason, as these teams start falling out of the playoff race, that this last impression at the end of the year, don't let it cloud the overall full season performance that we've seen from some of these players. That will do it for this week's episode of the Pun Intended podcast. Next week, we'll get back to the college level, scout some NBA prospects there, some two intriguing guards at probably the opposite end of the offensive and defensive spectrum. And I'm very excited to dive into these players because I think they've been a little bit divisive amongst the NBA draft and fantasy community. So I can't wait to do my scout of them and get into them. Over on the writing side, we still have those Dynasty review series dropping on sportsethos.com. So you can see those and read through those with the NBA Fantasy Pass. So make sure you're subscribing and getting that content. That'll do it for this week's episode. Have a good one.